Chapter 25. The alarms were still hooting in the distance as Han carefully leaned one eye around the corner. According to the floor plans R2 had pulled up, this should be the major outer defense monitor station in the sector of the garrison. There were likely to be guards, and those guards were likely to be alert. He was right on both counts. 5 meters away down the entry corridor, flanking a heavy blast door, stood a pair of stormtroopers, and they were alert enough to notice the skulking stranger looking at them and to snap their blaster rifles up into firing position. The smart thing to do, the thing any reasonably non-suicidal person would do, would be duck back behind the corner before the shooting started. Instead, Han gripped the corner with his free hand, using the leverage to throw himself completely across the entry corridor. He made it to the other side, millimeters ahead of the tracking blaster bolts, flattening himself against the wall as the rapid fire blew out chunks of paneling metal behind him. They were still firing as Chewbacca leaned around the corner Han had just left and ended the discussion with two quick bowcaster shots.
"Good job, Chewie," Han grunted,
throwing a quick look behind him and then slipping back around the corner. The stormtroopers were out of the fight all right, leaving nothing in their way but a massive metal door. Which, like the stormtroopers themselves, was no big deal. At least not for them.
"Ready?"
he asked, dropping into a half-crouch at one side of the door and raising his blaster. There would be another pair of guards inside.
"Ready,"
Luke confirmed. There was the snap hiss of the kid's lightsaber, and the brilliant green blade whipped past Han's head to slice horizontally through the heavy metal of the blast door. Somewhere along the way, it caught the internal release mechanism, and as Luke finished the cut, the top part of the door shot up along its track into the ceiling. From the way the stormtroopers were facing the door, it was clear they'd heard the short fight outside. It was also clear that they hadn't expected anyone to be coming through this soon. Han shot one of them as he tried to bring his blaster rifle to bear. Luke lunged half over the bottom part of the door, lightsaber swinging, and took out the other. The group of Imperials manning their sensor consoles weren't expecting company either. They were fumbling for sidearms and scrambling for cover as Han and Chewbacca took them out. A dozen shots after that, the room had been reduced to a smoldering collection of junk.
"That ought to do it,"
Han decided.
"Better get lost before the reinforcements get here."
But between the riot down at the main entrance and the wandering band of Minersi, Imperial response time was down. The three intruders made it back along the corridor to the emergency stairway, and three levels down to the pump room where they'd left the others. Two of the Nogri were standing silent guard just inside the door as Han keyed it open.
"Any trouble?" Lando called from somewhere in the tangle of pipes that seemed to fill two-thirds of the room.
"Not really,"
Han said, as Chewbacca closed and locked the door behind them.
"Wouldn't want to try it again, though."
Lando grunted.
"I don't think you'll have to. They should be adequately convinced there's a major aerial attack on the way."
"Let's hope so,"
Han said, stepping around to where Lando was fiddling with an archaic-looking control board. R2 was plugged into a computer socket on the side of the board, while 3PO hovered off to the side like a nervous motherbird.
"Vintage stuff, huh?"
"You got that," Lando agreed. "I think the Emperor must have just picked up the cloning complex and dropped it in here whole."
R2 gibbered indignantly.
"Right. Including the programming," Lando said dryly. "I know a little about this stuff, Han, but not enough to do any permanent damage. I think we're gonna have to use the explosives."
"Fine with me," Han said.
He would have hated lugging them all the way across Wayland for nothing, anyway.
"Where's Mara?"
"Out there,"
Lando said, nodding toward another door, half hidden by the pipes.
"In the main room."
"Let's check it out, Luke,"
Han said. He didn't like the idea of Mara wandering around alone in this place.
"Chewie, stay here with Lando. See if there's anything worth blowing up."
Crossing to the door, he keyed it open. Beyond was a wide circular walkway running around the inside of what seemed to be a huge natural cavern. Directly ahead, framed against a massive equipment column that extended downward from the ceiling through the center of the cavern, Mara was standing at the walkway's railing.
"This the place?"
he asked her, glancing around as he started toward her. About 20 other doors opened up onto the walkway at more or less regular intervals,
and there were four retractable bridges extending out to a work platform encircling the central equipment column. Aside from a couple of their Nogri skulking around, doing guard duty, there was no one else in sight. But there were sounds. A muted hum of machinery and voices was coming from somewhere, punctuated by the faint clicks of relays and a strange rhythmic pulsing or whooshing sound, like the whole cavern was breathing.
"It's the place,"
Mara confirmed, her voice sounding strange. Maybe she thought it sounded like breathing, too.
"Come and see."
Han threw a glance at Luke, and together they stepped to Mara's side and looked down over the railing. And it was indeed the place. The cavern was huge, extending downward at least 10 stories below their walkway. It was laid out like a sport arena, with each level being a kind of circular balcony running around the inside of the cavern. Each balcony was a little wider than the one above it, extending further into the center of the cavern and making for a smaller hole around the big equipment column. There were pipes everywhere. Huge ones coming off the ducts of the central column, smaller ones running around the edges of each of the balconies, and little ones feeding off them into the neatly arranged metal circles that filled the balconies and main floor. Thousands of little circles, each one the top cover plate of a Spa'arti cloning cylinder. Beside Han, Luke made a strange sound in the back of his throat.
It's hard to believe,
he said, sounding about halfway between awestruck and dumbfounded.
Believe it,
Han advised him grimly, pulling out his macro binoculars and focusing them on the main floor below. The ductwork blocked a lot of the view, but he could catch glimpses of men in medtech and guard uniforms scurrying around. They were on some of the balconies, too.
They're stirred up like a rat's nest down there, he said. Stormtroopers on the main floor and everything.
He threw a sideways look at Mara. Her expression was tight as she stared down at the cloning tanks, with the haunted look of someone gazing back into the past.
Bring back memories?
He asked.
Yes,
she said mechanically. She stood there a moment longer, then slowly straightened up.
But we can't allow it to stand.
Glad you agree,
Han said, studying her face. She looked and sounded okay now, but there was a lot of stuff going on under the surface.
Hold it together, kid,
he told her silently.
Just a little longer, okay? That column in the middle looks like our best shot. You know anything about it?
She looked across the cavern.
Not really,
she hesitated.
But there might be another way. The Emperor wasn't one for leaving things behind for other people to use. Not if he could help it.
Han threw a glance at Luke.
You mean this whole place might have a self-destruct?
It's possible,
she said, that haunted look back in her eyes again.
If so, the control will be up in the throne room. I could go and take a look.
I don't know,
Han said, looking down into the cloning cavern. It was an awfully big place for them to take on with a single sack of explosives. He'd give her that much. A destruct switch would simplify things a lot. But the idea of Mara and her memories up there in the Emperor's throne room didn't sound so good either.
Thanks, but I don't think any of us ought to go wandering around this place alone.
I'll go with her,
Luke volunteered.
She's right. It's worth checking out. It'll be safe enough,
Mara added.
There's a service droid turbo lift along the hallway that'll get us most of the way there. Most of the Imperial's attention should be focused on the riot at the entrance anyway.
Han grimaced.
All right, get going,
he growled.
Don't forget to let us know before you pull the switch, okay?
We won't,
Luke assured him with a tight grin.
Come on, Mara.
They headed down the walkway.
Where are they going?
Lando asked from behind Han.
Emperor's throne room,
Han said.
She thinks he might have put a self-destruct switch up there. You find anything?
R2's finally got a connection into the main computer,
Lando told him.
He's looking for schematics of that thing.
He gestured toward the central column.
We can't wait,
Han decided, turning back as Chewbacca emerged from the pump room with their bag of explosives over one shoulder.
Chewie, you and Lando take one of those bridges across and get busy.
Right,
Lando said,
taking a cautious look over the railing.
What about you?
I'm gonna go lock us in,
Han told him, pointing to the other doors opening out onto the walkway.
You, Nogri, come here.
The two Nogri who'd been standing guard moved silently to him as Lando and Chewbacca headed toward the nearest bridge.
Your command, Han Clan Solo,
one of them asked.
You, stay here,
he told the nearest one.
Watch for trouble. You,
he pointed to the other.
Help me seal off those doors. One good blaster shot in each control box ought to do it. I'll go this way, you go the other.
He was about two-thirds of the way around his side of the walkway when he heard something over the eerie mechanical breathing sounds of the cavern below him. Looking back, he saw 3PO calling and beckoning to him from the pump room door.
Great,
he muttered. Leave it to 3PO, and sooner or later he'd make a mess of it. Finishing the door he was on, he turned and hurried back.
Captain Solo,
3PO gushed in relief as Han came up to him.
Thank the Maker, R2 says.
What are you trying to do?
Han snapped.
Bring the whole garrison down on us?
Of course not, sir. But R2 says...
You want to talk to me, you come out and find me, right?
Yes, sir. But R2 says...
If you don't know where to look, you use your comm link,
Han said, jabbing a finger at the little cylinder the droid was clutching.
That's why you've got one. You don't just shout around. You got that?
Yes, sir,
3PO said, his mechanical patience sounding more than a little strained.
May I continue?
Han sighed. So much for the lecture. He'd do better talking to a Bantha.
Yeah, what is it?
It's about Master Luke. I overheard one of the Nogri say that he and Mara Jade were on their way to the Emperor's throne room.
Yeah, so?
Well, sir, in the course of his inquiries, R2 has just learned that Jedi Master Choruis Sabaoth is imprisoned in that area.
Han stared at him.
What do you mean, that area? Isn't he in the detention center?
No, sir, as I said.
Why didn't you say so?
Han demanded, yanking out his comlink and thumbing it on. And just as fast, thumbing it off.
The comlinks appear to be inoperable. I discovered that when I attempted to contact you.
Great,
Han snarled, the burst of jamming static still echoing in his ears as he looked around. Luke and Mara walking right into Sabaoth's arms, and no way to warn them. No way, except one.
Keep R2 busy looking for those schematics,
he told 3PO, shoving the comlink back into his belt.
While he's at it, tell him to see if he can find out where that jamming's coming from. If he can, send a couple of Nogri to try and get rid of it. Then get out to work the platform and tell Chewie and Lando where I've gone.
Yes, sir,
3PO said, sounding a little surprised by the flurry of orders and command authority.
Pardon me, sir, but where will you have gone?
Where do you think?
Han retorted over his shoulder as he started down the walkway. It never failed, he thought sourly. One way or the other, no matter where they were or what they were doing, somehow he always wound up chasing off after Luke. And it was starting to look more and more like a good thing he'd come along.
All right, Garrett's Gold. Hatchways are sealed,
the controller's voice said.
Stand by to receive outbound course data.
Acknowledge, Control,
Abe said, easing the etherway back from the docking arm and starting a leisurely turn. They were ready here, and from the looks of things, so was everyone else.
There he is, Gillespie muttered, pointing out the viewport. Right on schedule.
You sure that's Mazik?
Abe's asked, peering out at the ship.
Pretty sure, Gillespie said. Want me to try giving him a call?
Abe shrugged, looking around the shipyards. They'd set up the rest of the group with a good encrypt code, but it wouldn't be a smart idea to tempt trouble by using it before they had to.
Let's hold off a minute, he told Gillespie. Wait until we've got something to talk about.
The words were barely out of his mouth when the whole thing went straight to hell.
Star Destroyers!
Fawn barked from the comm console.
Coming in from light speed!
Vectors?
Gillespie snapped.
Don't bother,
Abe's told him, a cold knife twisting in his gut. He could see the Star Destroyers ahead, all right.
appearing out of hyperspace at the edge of the shipyards, and the dreadnoughts, and the Lancer frigates, and the strike cruisers, and the TIE squadrons. A complete assault fleet, and then some. And practically every fighting ship of Card's Smuggler Confederation was here, right in the middle of it. So it was a trap, Gillespie said, his voice icy calm.
I guess so, Abe said, staring out at the armada still moving into formation. A formation that seemed wrong somehow.
Aves, Gillespie, this is Mazik.
The other smuggler's voice came over the comm.
Looks like we've been sold out after all. I'm not going to surrender. How about you?
I think they deserve to lose at least a couple of Star Destroyers for this, Gillespie agreed.
That was my idea. Too bad Card isn't here to see us go out in a blaze of glory.
He paused, and Aves could feel Gillespie's and Fawn's eyes on him. They would, he knew, go to their deaths believing Card had betrayed them. All of them would.
I'm with you too, he told the others quietly. If you want, Mazik, you can have command.
Thanks. I was gonna take it anyway. Stand by. We might as well deliver our first punch together.
Aves took one last look at the armada, and suddenly he had it.
Hold it, he snapped. Mazik, everyone, hold it. That assault force isn't here for us.
What are you talking about? Gillespie demanded.
Those interdictor cruisers out there, Abe said. Out past that Star Destroyer group, see them? Look at their positioning.
There was a moment of silence. Mazik got it first.
That's not an enclosure configuration.
You're right, it's not, Gillespie agreed. Look, you can see a second group of them farther back.
It's an entrapment configuration,
Mazik said, sounding like he didn't believe his own words.
They're setting up to pull someone out of hyperspace, and then keep him there long enough to pound him.
Aves looked at Gillespie, found him looking back.
No, Gillespie breathed. You don't suppose? I thought they were supposed to be hitting Tan Green.
So did I,
Aves told him grimly, the twisting knife back in his gut.
I guess we were wrong.
Or else Thrawn is.
Gillespie looked out at the armada and shook his head.
No, probably not.
All right, let's not panic. If the New Republic comes, it just means that much more to occupy the Imperial's attention. Let's stay on schedule and see what happens.
Right,
Abe sighed. Square in the middle of an Imperial base during a New Republic attack. Terrific.
Tell you something, Aves, Gillespie commented. If we get out of this, I'm gonna go have some words with your boss.
No argument. Aves looked out at Thrawn's armada. Matter of fact, I think maybe I'll go with you.
Carefully, Mara eased her head out of the emergency stairway and took a look into the corridor beyond. The caution was wasted. This level was as deserted as the three below it had been.
All clear, she murmured, stepping out into the corridor. No guards here, either?
Skywalker asked, looking around as he joined her.
No point to it, she told him. Except for the throne room and the royal chambers, there was never much of anything on these top levels.
I guess there still isn't. Where's this private turbo lift?
To the right and around that corner,
she said, pointing with her blaster. More from habit than any real need, she tried to keep her footsteps quiet as she led the way down the corridor. She reached the cross corridor and turned into it. There, 10 meters dead ahead, two stormtroopers stood flanking the turbolift door, their blaster rifles already lifting to track toward her. Half a step into the corridor, all of her momentum going the wrong direction, there was nowhere for Mara to go but down. She dived for the deck, firing toward them as she fell. One of the stormtroopers toppled back as a burst of flame erupted in his chest armor. The second rifle swung toward her face and jerked reflexively away as Skywalker's lightsaber came spinning down the corridor toward him. It didn't do any real damage, of course. At that distance and without the Force, Skywalker wasn't that good a shot. But it did a fine job of distracting the stormtrooper, and that was all Mara needed. Even as the Imperial ducked away from the whirling blade, she caught him with two clean shots. He hit the deck and stayed there. I guess they don't want anyone going in there,
Skywalker said, coming up beside her.
I guess not,
Mara agreed, ignoring the hand he offered and getting up on her own.
Come on.
The turbolift car had been locked at this level, but it took Mara only a minute to release it. There were only four stops listed. The one they were on, the emergency shuttle hangar, the royal chambers, and the throne room itself. She keyed for the last, and the door slid shut behind them. The trip upward was a short one, and a few seconds later, the door on the opposite side of the car slid open. Bracing herself, Mara stepped out into the Emperor's throne room and into a flood of memories. It was all here, just as she remembered it. The muted side lights and brooding darkness the Emperor had found so conducive to meditation and thought. The raised section of floor at the far end of the chamber, allowing him to look down from his throne as visitors climbed the staircase into his presence. View screens on the walls on either side of the throne, darkened now, which had enabled him to keep track of the details of his domain. And for an overview of that domain, she turned to her left, gazing over the railing of the walkway into the huge open space that faced the throne. Floating there in the darkness, a blaze of light 20 meters across was the galaxy. Not the standard galaxy hologram any school or shipping business might own. Not even the more precise versions that could be found only in the war rooms of select sector military headquarters. This hologram was sculpted in exquisite and absolutely unique detail, with a single, accurately positioned spot of light for each of the galaxy's 100 billion stars. Political regions were delineated by subtle encirclements of color. The core systems, the Outer Rim territories, wild space, the unknown regions. From his throne, the Emperor could manipulate the image, highlighting a chosen sector, locating a single system, or tracking a military campaign. It was as much a work of art as it was a tool. Grand Admiral Thrawn would love it. And with that thought, the memories of the past faded reluctantly into the realities of the present. Thrawn was in command now, a man who wanted to recreate the Empire in his own image, wanted it badly enough to unleash a new round of clone wars if that would gain it for him. She took a deep breath.
All right,
she said. The words echoed around the chamber, pushing the memories still further away.
If it's here, it'll be built into the throne.
With an obvious effort, Skywalker pulled his gaze away from the hologram galaxy.
Let's take a look.
They headed down the 10-meter walkway that led from the turbolift into the main part of the throne room. Walking beneath the overhead catwalk that ran across the front edge of the hologram pit and between the raised guard platforms flanking the stairway, Mara glanced at the platforms as she and Skywalker walked up the steps to the upper level, remembering the red-cloaked Imperial guards who had once stood there in silent watchfulness. Beneath the upper-level floor, visible between the steps as they climbed, the Emperor's monitor and control area was dark and silent. Aside from the galaxy hologram, all of the systems up here appeared to have been shut down. They reached the top of the steps and headed across toward the throne itself, turned away from them toward the polished rock wall behind it. Mara was looking at it, wondering why the Emperor had left it facing away from his galaxy, when it began to turn around. She grabbed Skywalker's arm, snapping her blaster up to point at the throne. The massive chair completed its turn.
So, at last you have come to me,
Jarua Sabaoth said gravely, gazing out at them from the depths of the throne.
I knew you would. Together we will teach the galaxy what it means to serve the Jedi.